Deutsche Welle Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, the worsening plight of South Africa's striking platinum miners.
Well, at the moment, there's great hunger on the platinum belt. As mine workers are striking for about 5 months already and they've got no food.
And Nigeria marks Democracy Day, with its president putting the Islamist insurgency center stage.
The war has been unleashed on us. Extremist foreign elements, collaborating with some of our misguided citizens, are focused on an attempt to bring down our country.
And later in the programme, we'll be catching up with the Crossroads generation as Marcy agonises over whether to have an abortion.
Top story.
In South Africa, government-mediated talks were set to start on Thursday to try to break a deadlock between a trade union and top global platinum producers over a crippling 4-month strike. Close to 80,000 striking miners are now living on handouts, often queuing for hours for food parcels. But they say they won't return to work until their demands are met. Tuzo Kamalo visited the Platinum Belt in Northwest Province and sends us this report.
The nearly 5 months old strike is now hitting hard on the miners and their families. Since January 23, when they embarked on a strike to demand a wage increase of about $1,200, the platinum miners have not earned a single cent. Most say they now beg for food from family and relatives. Those who had taken goods on credit are reporting huge debts, while some have been evicted from their rented shacks or rooms. Roberto Guane from Mozambique is one of the striking miners at Komanani mine in Rustenburg. Guane says that the strike has turned him into a full-time beggar.
Life is now extremely hard for me. Sometimes I only drink water and spend the day on an empty stomach. When I'm too hungry, I go and beg from friends. I have not received a salary since January. My house rent is now in 4 months' arrears, and I'm also owing 500 rand in school fees for my child.
Recently, the Gift of Givers, an international disaster relief organization, distributed food parcels to 700 starving miners at Komanani mine. For a moment, their world of sadness was filled with joy and excitement as they stood in the long, winding queue to receive the food handouts. Emily Thomas, Gift of Givers media liaising officer, warned that the humanitarian situation of the miners has reached alarming levels and called for more urgent and regular assistance.
Well, at the moment, there's great hunger on the platinum belt. As mine workers are striking for about 5 months already and they've got no food. Basically, Gift of the Givers is here to assist them in the humanitarian crisis at the moment. We've brought maize meal, tea, rice, pasta, fresh vegetables, bread, blankets, clothing.
Many were filled with excitement and joy as they hurried away with their food parcels to prepare a decent meal after spending days on empty stomachs. Sylvia Kopololo, a machine operator assistant at Komanani mine, ran short of words to express her appreciation for the food parcels.
We are very excited about these food handouts. At least today we will eat and sleep peacefully.
Newly appointed South Africa's Minister for Mineral Resources, Ngoko Ramaklodi, has announced the establishment of an interministerial team in an effort to resolve the wage dispute.
Tuzo Kamalo and the new minister who was sworn in on Monday has said that political intervention in this strike was necessary. Having heard in that report about the human cost of the strike, I turned to independent political analyst Ralph Matega and asked him about its economic impact.
According to the figures that are emerging now, the miners have lost close to 9 billion rand in terms of the wages, and the mining houses have lost about 20 billion rand in terms of the earnings. That is quite a substantial amount of money. For people in the mining sector to actually lose 3 months of income is quite substantive, because we know that they are not paid so much, they do not have savings. So it is really affecting them. And if you look at this within the context of the latest numbers coming out also in South Africa, economic figures showing that we just might be a quarter away from recession, this is not a good situation. The mining industry, it's really having a tremendous impact on the economy and also on investors' confidence in the economy. Investors are very concerned to have a situation where you have a strike that is going more than 3 months, really unabated, is quite a concern.
How could the new minister persuade the two sides to end their dispute?
It is going to take more than just a new minister to persuade both sides, that is the employers and the employees, to end their dispute. Because at the center of this dispute also is that the newly formed union, a breakaway from the historical National Union of Mine Workers, this new union does not really have a good relationship with government. It is a union that is formed as a breakaway union. And what we are seeing is government's inability to broker and mediate some form of peace between the mine workers and the mine bosses. So I do not think that the new minister will have any personal success in this. I think it is just a question of the mining bosses and the mine workers themselves trying to reach an agreement.
So all this talk about political intervention is not going to lead anywhere?
It is not going to work. It has failed, actually, for more than 3 months. And it is because government is not being seen as a, what you can call a neutral figure in this. And government is being seen as siding with the National Union of Mine Workers. That is the union that wants to go back to work, while AMCU, which has majority of membership after recent recruitment, they do not want to go back to work. They want 12,500.
Independent South African political analyst Ralph Matega.
Africa Link, because Africa is more than just a headline.
Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan has vowed to wage war on terrorism following last month's mass abduction of schoolgirls and a string of other attacks blamed on the Islamist sect Boko Haram. In the latest raid by suspected Islamists, gunmen killed 35 people in 3 villages in the northeastern state of Borno near the border with Cameroon early on Wednesday morning. One day later, Nigeria marked Democracy Day under the shadow of the 5-year insurgency, which has claimed thousands of lives. Sam Olukoya reports from Lagos.
In a nationwide broadcast to mark Democracy Day, set aside to commemorate Nigeria's return to civil rule 15 years ago, President Goodluck Jonathan said the country is at the receiving end of a vicious war unleashed by terrorists.
Our dear country, Nigeria, is facing a new challenge. A war has been unleashed on us. Extremist foreign elements, collaborating with some of our misguided citizens, are focused on an attempt to bring down our country and the democracy and freedom we cherish and celebrate today.
In the face of incessant attacks on towns and villages by the Islamist group Boko Haram and the group's abduction of more than 200 schoolgirls in northeastern Nigeria, several countries, including the United States, Britain, China, and Israel, have sent military assistance to Nigeria. Many Nigerians, like Deleshe Tolu, a senior lecturer at the Lagos State University, are worried about Nigeria's inability to deal with the security crisis.
Nigeria is at the crossroads. There are huge security threats. There's no doubt there is an equally huge security deficit. And it does not appear to me that the state actors are capable, are competent, can deal with the situation. For me, it's more disturbing that we had to rely on foreign countries to nip the crisis in the bud.
The Democracy Day celebration, which was attended by President Jonathan and other key government officials, was broadcast live on television. Beyond the funfair, The event was like a political campaign during which speaker after speaker praised President Jonathan for his achievements. But on the contrary, the president is more interested in his political future than the security challenges in the country. Sylvester Odiong Ahene is one of the activists who fought for the return of democracy in Nigeria and paid a price of being jailed by the military rulers then. He thinks last 15 years of democratic rule have not brought about the kind of gains they fought for.
On all indices, economy, politically, there's no eternal democracy. Life has become unbearable for Nigerians. Insecurity and, of course, a large swath of the country have been taken over by insurgents. And so, on the balance sheet, we have not had, you know, the dividends of democracy.
That report was compiled by Sam Olukoya in Lagos. You're listening to Africa Link, coming to you from Deutsche Welle in Bonn, Germany. In Malawi, there has been a delay in a High Court ruling which many had hoped would resolve the chaos and uncertainty surrounding the results of the election of May the 20th. The court had been expected to decide on Thursday whether or not the winner would be declared on the votes already counted. It could also have ordered a total recount. I asked our correspondent in Blantyre, George Mahango, why the court ruling had been delayed.
The ruling has been delayed. Why? Because High Court Judge in Blantyre, Hile Potani, recused himself from all the court processes, meaning that there is need to have another judge to take over. So this definitely means that Malawians will have to wait a little bit longer before they know what is it that MEC has to say in terms of the vote, recount or the results.
How are people in Malawi reacting to this delay?
Basically, people in Malawi have divided opinions per se. If you look at the public, an ordinary Malawian definitely is looking forward to having this thing settled once and for all in terms of releasing the results. But if you look at political party supporters, definitely they are still, you know, pressing hard. They have been taking these issues to the courts despite the fact that maybe there is this delay. So divided opinion. But at the end of the day, it's an ordinary Malawian who is suffering the pinch because we are talking about maybe having a budget in place and that budget is supposed to be enacted or put in place by parliamentarians.
This sounds like a big test for Malawian democracy. Is that the way civil society sees it?
Definitely, this is what they are saying. Even legal commentators are saying that it's high time that laws in Malawi were enacted so that at least, you know, they really give out a true reflection of how times are changing. Because this is not the first time that laws in Malawi have been tested. The electoral laws are said to be archaic, meaning that they have to be reviewed if it means to conform with the, you know, moving times.
George Mahango in Malawi.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello there. Welcome back to Crossroads Generation.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future starts today.
We are on the second season called Facing the Consequences. And I bet you're all eager to know how the story of Mercy, Nikki and the others continues, aren't you? Just to remind you where we left off. Nikki has been in a bad mood ever since his classmate Mercy rejected him. Last time he had a fight with his parents.
Your mother said good morning to you and all you can say is, if you say so. Don't you dare answer your mother like that.
All you ever do is yell at me and hit me.
Nikki, come back here.
Nikki!
At the same time, Mercy's family has been struggling to survive since her father Msoto was arrested. He's been held at the police station on suspicion of robbery. And that's not his only problem. But we'll come to that later. His daughter Mercy is in trouble too. She slept with her classmate Dan, who claimed to be in love with her, and now she's pregnant. For Dan, there's only one solution: abortion. Mercy's friend Trudy is giving her the same advice.
I think you should make up your mind soon to, you know.
Trudy,
I'm really not comfortable doing... You know what? Besides, where would I even get the money to pay Dr. Zito?
Why is Trudy insisting that her friend Mercy gets an abortion? We're about to find out today in Secrets, the sixth episode.
Trudy, you can't keep coming to me asking for money when you're not doing your job.
But Dr. Zito, I do my job.
Oh, yeah? Huh? When was the last time you brought me a patient? 3 months ago?
All I'm asking for is a little money, Dr. Zito. I really need those new shoes.
I'm sorry, Trudy, but rules are rules. We agreed I'd pay you if you bring me girls who need help getting an abortion. No girls, no money.
Dr. Zito, please.
Tell you what, Trudy. If you convince that friend of yours, what's her name again? Mercy?
Mm-hmm.
I'll pay you extra this time. Deal?
But I need the money now.
Trudy, you don't look like a poor girl to me. Why isn't your mother buying those shoes for you?
I told you, my mom is not at home at the moment. Are you going to ask questions or are you going to help me?
Well, if your mother's not at home and you're feeling lonely, you can always come round to my house and we'll see what we can do about it.
No thanks. Do you think I don't know what you do to girls who come to your house? If you don't want to help me, just say so.
Hey, Trudy, wait. Fine. Here's $20, but I'm deducting it from your commission next time, okay?
Lulu, my wife, thank you for coming to visit me. Hey, come here, give me a hug. You have no idea what it's like being held at the police station.
Don't you even think about it. Don't touch me, you animal.
What did I do?
Oh, now you're going to pretend you don't know. I found Hamsoto. I found my daughter.
Mercy? Was she lost?
Not Mercy. The one you sold. My little angel I gave birth to some months ago. Whom you sold to that man, Mukaraba.
I told you not to ask him any questions.
Did you really think I wouldn't find out? Oh, and for your information, I've reported this to the police and they've told me they are processing it.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Really, thanks, Lulu. Your plan has worked after all. You've ruined my life. I knew it. You always wanted me out of the way so that you could enjoy my wealth.
What wealth, Msoto?
You've just sent me to prison, Lulu.
And that's exactly where you belong. Prison. Do you even know what your sons went through in Laboria? They told me everything. Your sister didn't take care of them. She sent them straight to work in the mines, in dark caves underground, where their supervisor beat them. Our little boys. Kadu has had nightmares every single night since they got back.
Lulu, my wife, you don't know what it's like being responsible for taking care of a family when you don't have a job and, you know...
So you just give your children away? Huh? Sell them? I wanted to keep my baby girl, but you took her away from me. Now that I know where she is, I'll do everything I can to get her back. I hope you rot in prison.
When will I see you again?
Never.
You will miss me.
Where could Nikki be? He's not answering his phone. The neighbors haven't even seen him.
Calm down, Mama Nikki. We'll find our son. Let's just drive to the center of town and look for him there.
Don't tell me to calm down. It's 10 at night and Nikki hasn't come home since you two quarreled this morning.
Stop blaming me. I told you we'll find him.
On the international scene, the upheaval in the neighboring country of Laboria has reached a new peak. Protests against the government have got violent again. And according to our sources, the rebels are not only attacking government buildings in the capital, but also a number of mines belonging to the Kanyama Mining Company. The death toll so far is at least 10, some of them underage children who are apparently working in the Kanyama mines illegally. The owner of the mines, Mr. Sos Peter Kanyama, is said to be very close to government officials, but he hasn't been seen in the capital for some days now.
Mama Nikki, that name Kanyama sounds very familiar to me.
Jume, how can you even be listening to the news when our son is missing?
He's probably just off having fun with some girl somewhere.
How can you say that? Nikki is still at school. Stop. Did you see that?
What?
There's someone lying by the side of the road. He could be hurt. Maybe he needs help.
I didn't see anything. Look, we'd better stay in the car and call the police. It could be robbers trying to trick us.
What?
Wait. You're right. There's somebody lying on the ground. My goodness. It looks like Nikki.
What? Oh, no. My God. No, not my son. Not my Nikki. Oh, Nikki. Is he okay? Nikki.
Nikki, are you hurt?
Me? Hurt? No. Nobody can hurt the mighty Nikki.
Are you drunk? What is wrong with you, boy?
Your son is in love with a girl. But the girl is in love with another man. That's what's wrong.
Oh, Nikki, what's happening to you, my boy?
Look, you're wasting your time talking to a drunk. Just help me get him into the car.
Yeah, carry me home.
Just you wait till we get there.
Carry me home. Take me home to the place I belong.
Oh, Nikki. How could you drink so much?
Let me talk to him first. Nikki, who do you think you are behaving like that?
Dad.
Don't slap him, Jumbe.
He's my son, and I'll slap him as often as I want.
But your way clearly is not working. How many times have you beaten him lately?
So, what do you suggest we do, Mrs. Human Rights Watch?
I suggest you calm down right now. You can't reason with a drunk person. Let him rest, and then tomorrow the two of you can talk.
Talking didn't prevent him from getting into that state.
Jumbe, I really think we've been going about this the wrong way. Perhaps we should try to be friends with him.
Friends? I don't want friends. I want
mercy. Shut up and go to sleep, Nikki.
And so, with Nikki about to get a very bad hangover, we end today's episode of Crossroads Generation, Learning by Ear Radio Drama. Will Nikki manage to get on his feet again? Will Mercy make up her mind whether or not to have the baby? Be sure to check out our next episode. For more information on the program, just visit our webpage on dw.de/LBE. And don't forget to join Learning by Ear on Facebook to discuss what you just heard with other listeners. Bye-bye.
And before we leave you here on Africa Link, a reminder of our main stories. In South Africa, government-mediated talks were set to start on Thursday to try to break the deadlock over the crippling 4-month strike in the platinum industry. On Nigeria's Democracy Day, President Goodluck Jonathan has pledged to wage war on terrorism. And following a delay in a High Court ruling, voters in Malawi can expect to wait even longer for the results of a recent presidential election. And if you'd like to comment on anything you heard during this programme, then do send a text message to country code 49 160957 59510 and email to feedback.africa@dw.de or a letter to Africa Link DW 53110 Bonn, Germany. More stories from Africa in Africa Link at the same time tomorrow. Do join us if you can. Thank you for listening. This is Mark Caldwell in Bonn.